Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Close the door. It's the Football Ramble, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Marcus, and it's lovely to have you on board. I've got three wonderful men with me. Jim is the first one.
Hello.
Pete's the second.
Hello.
And Luke's the third.
Rinsing sound. All right.
The unquestionable sound of Luke Moore there. Now, it's October. We are the Football Ramble. We've teamed up with PES 2012, haven't we, Pete?
Yes, we have. We're sponsored by PES 2012, the footballer's football game, which is out now for PS3 and Xbox 360.
And last week, of course, we had the question, how would you celebrate to wind up opposition fans? Jimbo, what do we have there?
I have a winner here. All right, to start with, so well done. You're all winners, but less so than this guy. So, Ramblers, in answer to your question, after scoring, I would disappear down the player's tunnel. After a few moments, I will reappear, dragging with me a plastic object with an odd, sort of old-fashioned foot pump.
Oh, yeah.
I would then begin inflating the said plastic object in the centre circle. What would be left is a 40-foot blow-up version of El Hadji Diouf.
Use his full name, please.
Sorry, El Hadji Albert Diouf. This would have no relevance to the team we are playing against, but everyone hates him. I would then have my teammates circle the balloon and pray to him as if he were a god. All the best, Mrs. Diouf, a.k.a. Mario Fescias. So the Xbox 360 version of that will be winging its way to you.
That'll be very heavy, I reckon.
Marvellous.
The second person to win a copy of PES 2012 is a man called Danny Chadburn. Well done, Danny. He said most goal celebrations last 10 seconds at most. That's nowhere right. near enough when you're winding up opposition fans.
Agreed.
The holy grail of celebrations is prolonged antagonism. The celebration that keeps on giving. Mm. And the answer is mustard seeds.
Of course it is.
A quick sprinkling spelling out a suitably offensive slogan won't show up instantly following your goal, but by the time the next home game comes round, it will be emblazoned on their pitch for all to see. And the best thing, the more you mow it, the quicker it comes back, meaning the only solution would be for your rivals to move to a new stadium, putting them in a never-ending debt spiral. Well done, Danny Chadburn.
Machiavellian.
PES 2012 on its way to you, sir.
Absolutely marvellous. Of course, if you want to enter the competition for the PES 2012 game, email show@thefootballramble.com and answer this week's question, which is, Sven-Göran Eriksson has been sacked. Gentlemen.
That's more of a statement.
Yeah. Well, I've just suddenly realised he's been sacked. It's absolutely terrible.
Sven, just when we thought we were just about getting him out of the show.
Sven, we love you. What
it's the royal
job,
way there, isn't
what
it?
What job would you like to see Sven move into now that he's a free agent, a free man? And it can't be football.
No, of course, no. Well, Sven... you know, he's a Lothario, isn't he? As we know,
is he Lothario though?
He's a ladies' man, isn't he? Well, I don't think he'll lose that.
Okay, you know, it's just I certainly hope him. Not.
And he, you know, there's a real big thing now of people giving like classes on like how to like pick up women and stuff like that. So I think he'd become
like
sort
the
of
game.
That, yeah,
like
I think he'd become one of those guys. He'd run seminars for sort of like.
I'd definitely go.
Absolutely, he'd run seminars for sort of rich, bland men on how to just sort of be inexplicably charming when looking like a bank manager. he'd be good at it.
Yeah, I think he would be good at it.
I don't think rich, bland men necessarily need that much help.
I'm sure there are some.
You hear me, Clyde? You fuck.
He's not back, is he? Okay, Jimbo, that's your answer. Pete?
I can't show you my answer right now, Marcus.
Okay.
Due to YouTube's stringent policies and guidelines. But if you go to PeteDonaldson.com, I'll be able to tell you the answer there.
Does that exist?
That's YouTube football viewing humour. Because you try and watch something on YouTube.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, good one, yeah.
Clever.
Metal detector, Marcus. I'd make a metal detector because you can find money wherever. You can go on the beach and you can find money underground.
He turns Fenn into a metal detector, right?
Yeah. I would, yeah. It would be quite humorous because he's a bit of a kind of like Montgomery Burns character. It'd be quite fun to see a sort of stick thin sort of...
human metal
body him. Just sort of being pushed.
You'd like to work him up and down the beach.
What noise would he make when there was metal under the ground?
He's like, going, oh, money!
No, 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 I think he would go,
well.
Well. Well. Well.
Oh, we got one! Pass us the shovel.
It's a doubloon.
Michael, Emil, go and fetch it.
Yeah.
Luke, what have you got for
him? I think he'd be probably a doctor. He looks like a doctor.
Yeah, doctor.
I think he would have a good bedside manner, as Jim mentioned earlier.
the only
drawback to him being a doctor would be the prescription for every single ailment would be, have you tried Darius for sale?
Not bad. I suppose I'm going to continue the lovey theme of Sven. I'd like late night love, a radio show.
Whoa, oh, he's got a very dulcet tone.
Yeah. Oh, right. I thought this was just like a plea to any female listeners. Yeah.
I want late night love.
Late night
love. Well, that's every week, Jimbo. But no, I think Sven DJing late night love on radio.
That'd work. I'd definitely listen to that.
Right.
That he's very versatile, isn't he, Sven? I thought this would be hard, but it's quite easy.
He could pretend he was in like a Swedish style sauna in the studio.
Sarah's got two children.
But I don't mind.
Dead father. You come round the studio, I do you.
It'd be a bit like Ernie McCracken in Kingpin.
Come to the studio.
Excellent. I think Jimbo's got the points.
Oh, well done, Jim.
But he's not got the game. If you want to win the game, then email your answer to that question. What job would you like Sven to have, since he's now not in football management, to show@thefootballramble.com.
And try to remember that he also doesn't go anywhere without his elderly assistant, Tord Grip.
Yeah, he'll probably be the shovel.
Incorporate that, yeah.
Really?
The shovel.
On the beach, that is.
Tord Grip would be working the OHP, wouldn't he?
even sounds like a brand of shovel.
Tord Grip.
That was Kevin Keegan's real big sort of bugbear about when he left the England job, wasn't it? That he wasn't allowed one of his assistants because they said he was too old, and then Sven got Tord in, he was even older. Favouritism against Keggy.
How is that allowed? Like, he's too old. That's surely against the sort of directive, yeah.
Allegedly, they said that.
Oh, so, okay, yeah. If Keegan said it.
Allegedly.
He's impervious to reality and laws.
Can we go on to the Premier League?
Please.
Yes.
Okay, let's go straight to Manchester. Where Manchester United scored one, Manchester City scored six goals! Ruddy hell! This was incredible scenes, their biggest defeat of all time in the history of football
since
ever.
Since Match of the Day 2 made montages that belittled the whole game itself.
That's right, Balotelli boys, the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. It wasn't their biggest defeat of all time, was it?
I mean,
for a long while, though.
It's the biggest Premier League defeat at Old Trafford, isn't it?
Yeah.
And actually, I think it's probably their biggest Premier League defeat as well.
They've been beaten by a 5-goal margin before, though, haven't they, Pete?
Yeah, they didn't concede the goal, did we?
Yeah. I was talking about Chelsea 5, mate. Yeah, apparently there was another one. Balotelli, fresh from his fireworks display, he scores two goals. What a celebration for the first time.
Can I just say that the salient point of the Balotelli story wasn't that it was a firework display, it was that he set his house on fire.
By letting
if it was just a
firework
display.
In the bathroom. There's more to this story as well, because he kept going back in
to get his stuff.
Yeah, he grabbed a bag of money.
Yeah, he went back in to get a pile of money.
And to get his Why Always Me t-shirt. I'm going to need this. I think I'm going to need this tomorrow.
Trust me.
It was an amazing, amazing game. I watched the first half and listened to the second half.
What do you think
he
meant by the Why Always Me?
It was a confusing sort of slightly broken English, wasn't it?
Like
he consulted with one of his friends that didn't necessarily speak
English.
I like
that because it means he's done it himself. Micah Richards was interviewed after the game and was given the Man of the Match award.
Oh, that's right,
and he didn't know.
Well, I think he
cracked up.
No, I think he did know. I think that he said, what does that mean? And he laughed and went, oh, and then went straight into media mode and just the emotion just suddenly went and he was like, well, you know, he's a good player.
No, you could see that was a real laugh when Micah Richards was told what it said.
It was cracking anyway.
Yeah.
And the great thing about it was that the really interesting part of it was quite frantic. United had the best of the early exchanges.
Then
the
ball seemed like a million years ago by the end of the game.
Yeah. That may not have, players wouldn't even believe it themselves if they started off well. But when it finally broke to Balotelli, he was like the calmest man on the pitch.
Yeah.
And he just He didn't try and lash it,
didn't he? He rolled it.
Slided it in. Yeah.
Snooker
slid it in.
It was yeah. I mean, it all hit, it did, for me, it did hinge on the red card, and also Ashley Young being wrecked. He's like, he couldn't move. Like, it was kind of his fault that they scored, I think, their second when Silva turned on the smallest sixpence ever.
Can I say that?
What a footballer.
David Silva, delish.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that annoyed me. Apart from the teary montage that Match of the Day wheeled out at the start and the end, it was horrible. Just the way that they said how good Silva was by saying, oh, he backtracked then, he did a tackle. He's so hard working.
Yeah.
He's one of the best footballers you've ever seen. He's incredible. Yeah. That is why players that are that talented in Britain get played out on the wing.
Exactly.
Because we don't appreciate that sort of talent. Yeah. He was incredible.
Well, he made a good tackle, didn't he?
He got stuck in.
Yeah. That proves he's a good player.
Yeah. You know. Two words is all you need to say about Silva.
Yep.
Delish and slips.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Rio Ferdinand was like at sea. Just absolutely just lost. He looked like he was hiding at points. So many of the goals, he's just nowhere near anything.
Yeah.
No.
Do you know what I thought was excellent? Was the Micah Richards, I thought, was very good. And Milner, the lovely little intricate 1-2s at times. And I just thought, could you do that for England? Why is it you put an England shirt?
Well, Richards can't get a game, does he, for England?
No, that's very true. He really should do. He was absolutely superb. And his form's been great for ages. I think, Luke, you pointed out a few weeks ago as well. He's been consistent for a long time as well. He's just not getting a look in.
I was going to say that when I read Ferguson's autobiography, and one of the things he always comes back to in it is the knee at the very top level. The big difference between players is the concentration.
Yeah.
That's very important to stay concentrated. And so his best players have always had brilliant concentration. And I know he's still a young player, but Johnny Evans' concentration is
terrible.
He switches off. You can see him switch off. Switched off for the first goal. Was ball watching for the sending off, which was rightly sent off. You know, he should have gone. And they couldn't deal with Balotelli.
They struggled. That's why Mancini obviously put him in. He said that they'd been working in training with Balotelli, running in behind the line against United back four. And even, I mean, I think perhaps if it wasn't United, this kind of fireworks and setting his house on fire, he perhaps would have been dropped. But he knew he needed him, and he was right to
stick
with
him. He scored in his last five games, I think.
Yeah. Mm. Well, yeah, well, it's 6-5, isn't it?
Right,
but
yeah.
But like, Evans, I mean, he dawdled as Balotelli was coming in. He just let him get past him. He was like, all I can do now is pull him over, sort of in his mind, it would seem.
Yeah.
He just wasn't thinking quickly enough for a game of that intensity.
And it's also interesting because Ferguson actually said after the game, I try and tell the players to not bring a player down in that situation. I'd prefer them to let the player through because I give the keeper a chance, I'll back my keeper, and I'll still have 11 men on the pitch.
Yeah.
And 2-0 with 11 men on the pitch, if United at home, isn't a disaster at all. Not especially as they started the game, you know.
Well, after the game, Ferguson sort of said that he'd wished they'd just played for a bit more kind of integrity almost, because they were just bombing forward, they were just leaving so many gaps. Like, three goals were all from United just trying to go forward and score again. It would have been better to have lost 2 or 3 nil or something. He seemed disappointed in how naive the display was, and it sounds like they weren't listening to the instructions. The one positive was I thought Darren Fletcher scored probably the best goal of the game, actually, and there were a lot of good goals.
I think the one that Silva set up for Balotelli was amazing.
Silva's play there
that
was
turn,
absolutely
the way he sort
superb.
Of pulled, he wasn't even going towards the goal. It was just like he pulled back and just made himself. He makes himself so much space.
And Silva's pass for Dzeko's goal as well, the last one, was absolutely just magical.
That's past the season. Going into the game, I thought it would be interesting because United play at quite high pace and that sort of stuff. The City looked to sort of oppress the opposition. They don't concede early. They stamp their authority on the game. They control the tempo and they really squeeze them. And they did that for United. And I know United are the man down. But I tell you, talking about taking positives from the game, I actually think that losing by that margin will give United a huge kick up the backside. And if they had lost, as you say, in a weird way, if they had lost 3-1, would it really sink in how much of a challenge they've got on? Now they know.
Yeah.
And I know City will take a lot of confidence and will have nothing to fear, but I think United, that will really whip them into shape, actually.
I mean, United's form has dipped, hasn't it? We haven't mentioned it on the show, but there's the 3-3 with Basel, where, you know, they were 2-0 up, went 3 down. And, you know, they salvaged a point. But, that's poor for Man United.
Especially
at
home,
they've had a couple of very, very flat performances.
Well, Norwich, they lost at home to Norwich.
Don't you think, Marcus, the game was won and lost in the middle of the park, though, the midfield? And Fletcher. I mean, when you saw Anderson and Fletcher line up in the middle against that might of Manchester City, did you not fear the worst?
But, I do. I don't know why Ferguson does that sometimes when he goes for two in midfield. I mean, if you haven't got Rooney playing quite a deeper role, then they're always going to get overrun, especially with City. They've got so much in there. They've got their lovely, intricate players with Silva and Milner was having a good game, and they can knock it around. But they've also got a lot of steel, and you can't expect Fletcher, who's an interceptor, rather than a tough tackler.
And Anderson, who's unfit.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. You can't expect them to break up that kind of play, even if you are at home. But what was nice, though, it was the biggest game of the season, and it just didn't disappoint.
Yeah,
no. And I think we sort of, before we started the ramble, we started watching the fan zone.
That was amazing.
Man City. What was he saying? Have it.
Take it.
And look at his
sad little chops.
It was just an unbridled release of years of just frustration, wasn't it? And interestingly, the Man United fan was clearly from the south.
Yeah.
The City fan was from Manchester.
We don't want to be too harsh on United on one hand, but on the other hand, they have had their fair share of good moments over the years.
And it's one of those things where it's like, can you imagine putting yourself in the place of a Man City fan?
That'd be huge.
Away at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
You're in your home city.
But you've waited so long.
And you witness that. You're in the away end, and wonderful.
With the Arsenal result in mind, I was thinking, get eight.
Oh, yeah, and the other thing was, I read today, I don't know if it's true because I've not seen it, but lots of people were reporting that Balotelli was driving through Manchester City Centre today in an open-top car, high-fiving Man City.
Oh, wow. Giving out fireworks.
The gift that keeps on giving.
But that's what you want, though.
Yeah.
You know,
if you're a United fan, it's not.
In a mental fair
enough, though. You know, people.
With the
open top car.
The Bentley.
The t-shirt really was one of those sort of Cantona colour up moments, wasn't it? It was one of those
iconic
images.
It will be a remembered Premier League moment for years to come.
Yeah.
Years to come.
Speaking of men of the people, of course. We don't have Keys and Gray commentating anymore, and I don't miss them for these big occasions. They weren't there. Interestingly enough, have you heard that they've been doing a kind of an evening with Keys and Gray around the country? Well,
for prisoners?
Yeah.
Well, if you people were actually pay for this.
If you were thinking about going, apparently in Clacton and even in Westcliff, they've cancelled the evenings because ticket sales were poor.
Sponsored by Topps Tiles.
Yeah.
So there are other dates going ahead then.
I'm not sure, are they?
Well, I don't know, but I know that they had a whole tour scheduled. I don't know if it's still happening. Yeah, I'm there. I'm opening for them, so they come and see us. But yeah, like I imagine they've just really arrogantly booked loads of massive venues.
I hope so. Well,
yeah, they're places. They'll have theatres and stuff. It could be a few hundred seats. You know,
just imagine sitting there reclining on their seats with their arms folded, sort of like.
And when they turn up and no one's bought tickets, they'll be like, "Oh, it's just like a Wigan game."
Yeah.
Town full of women.
Or women's football.
Interestingly, did you see all the PR guff for it? It said Keys and Gray, who have been credited with turning Sky into the major footballing source in the country. It's like, they still don't get it, do they? They still don't get it. It's about the football and not about them. Even now, they don't understand that.
Richard Keys has been credited with it by Andy Gray, and Andy Gray's been credited by Richard Keys.
Incredible. Now, let's go to the West London Derby. Queen's Park Rangers 1, Chelsea 0. What I loved about this is, even with Chelsea down to 9 men, they still probably should have got a point at least.
We all love the machine-like dominance of Chelsea, don't we?
Yeah. I don't believe it. Sorry, that was the wrong word to use.
I couldn't believe the Drogba challenge in the halfway line.
Oh, yeah.
What's he doing there? He's 33 years old.
2 feet.
That's why he did it.
You'd be so disappointed as a manager in that
position. Maybe he needs a rest.
Yeah. Mikel was trying to have a pop at him, wasn't he? And Drogba was going, "No, you shut up. You shut up."
Do you think Basingo should have been sent off?
That was very harsh, I thought.
It was a harsh decision. I mean, Terry looks like he was covering a cross, but I mean, you never know. We kept Terry's pace, do you?
He's got other things on his mind.
Yeah.
I quite like that Chelsea kit.
Yeah, I don't mind it. Panels,
it's interesting. It's different, isn't it?
Yeah.
It looks like a sort of cover for a dance album, like a dance compilation.
Yeah,
like
it
a
does
Ministry
a bit.
Of Sound kit.
A little bit. Heide Helgesen, Jimbo, your favourite.
Yeah,
getting the goal.
He scored, didn't he? The goal was the penalty was really slow. It moved really slowly in the air.
I think Sheffield would be disappointed with that. Actually,
He got a hand to it.
Yeah,
it's a great win for QPR.
Oh, brilliantly! I mean, to be honest, they didn't really show themselves in glory. I don't know why they didn't try and keep the ball an awful lot more.
Well, they just didn't really seem to get that was a good tactic, did they?
David Pleat was saying something really interesting on the radio about the tactical approach of Chelsea with 9 men, and what he was saying was that when he was a long time ago, when he was at Lillishall, the FA, someone ran a coaching course which coached specifically how to set your team up with 9 men, and he was talking about how what the brief was, the centre backs would take it in turns, so it would go on raids and
David
forward.
Luiz.
And you could see him doing it. David Luiz does it anyway.
Yeah. But, yeah. He is a liability.
Oh, I saw David Luiz against Genk at Stamford Bridge last week. He was amazing.
Mm. Yeah, like, I don't mean as a footballer, just like he was lucky to stay on the pitch.
Oh, it's great. He's so entertaining. Yeah. Two or three times, the ball came over and he was playing centre back. He was shying away from the header, turning his back to it, to the point of each time I thought it was offside. Play on. just didn't fancy heading it.
Oh my goodness.
Amazing.
What about that bicycle kick he tried?
Oh, class.
Yeah, he's great with the ball. Like, is he not more of a right back?
Is he not more of a number 10?
He started laughing when the penalty was given.
Yeah, he loves it.
Do you think it was a penalty?
Sean Wright Phillips didn't seem to think it was a penalty because he kept going and tried to play on, didn't he?
So, yeah.
I don't know. I think it was just a bit of a coming together. It's one of those things. It would be very soft. Well, it was very soft.
Come back to Luiz. I did say I would probably put him as a defensive midfielder.
Yeah, okay.
I wouldn't have him at centre back, certainly.
Yeah. Well, Genk
just can't trust him.
Genk offered nothing at all, really. I mean, the game was over after 20 minutes or something, but he was still like taking every chance available to him. Yeah. Every risk in the book he was taking. Yeah. It was great to see, obviously, because I'm not a Chelsea fan, so I didn't mind.
Yeah. Put him behind Torres, might get him firing.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's praying for him, of course, Genk. And now we move on to Aston Villa West Brom, Midlands derby.
Very strange.
Great win for West Brom, but as you say, an odd one. I thought Hutton should have been sent off.
Yeah, another murderous challenge.
Murderous, yeah.
It was. It was an awful challenge, and to the point of Roy Hodgson wasn't very happy after winning the game.
Begbie-esque.
He looked like he had other things on his mind, and his primary concern was the safety of Shane Long, because he didn't seem to celebrate when the goals were in, when the full time happened. He looked like a man with something on his mind, and the challenge from Hutton was a real dangerous one. Yeah, we don't know how long Shane Long's going to be out. I mean, have you seen the report on that? I don't know. But, I mean, because the actual sending off itself was bizarre.
That was very odd sending off, wasn't it? I tell you what, Hodgson got really angry and Chris Brunt smashed the penalty boy, didn't he? Hodgson was fuming at that.
Chris Brunt's one of the best strikers of all in the Premier League.
Well, yeah. Chris, left foot. I think it was strange. Chris Brunt made the most goal scoring chances in the Premier League last season.
Really? Was it?
Yeah. I know. Blimey. It's a strange one, isn't it? I mean, obviously, they weren't all converted.
I'd back him to score penalties every day of the week. I couldn't believe he put it wide.
Yeah.
That's a ball to the fit. If you getting in the way of that, because it was it was hard. I was like,
getting in the way of that. Behind the goal.
Yeah, no, yeah.
With your nose taken off.
So, do any of you even have a vague idea of what the referee thought he saw with Chris Hurd?
I think
it was. He thought it was a stamp.
Was the assistant gave?
Yeah, because he sort of, because he stumped. It's after the actual where everyone thinks the penalty was given. I think he was trying to get out of the tangle of legs.
Yeah,
and it did look like a stamp, but.
But the defender never said anything.
No, exactly. The defender just stood up. The defender just stood up and just, you know.
It reminds me a little bit of I've read an interview with Pierluigi Collina this month in Champions Magazine. It's the official Champions League magazine, but it is actually quite decent. It's got lots of interesting articles in it.
Oh, someone's on the payroll. Yeah. No, they bought the license, so.
I'm actually not. But it's a good it was a good interview. And he was saying that I think one of the questions was something like, what's the biggest challenge to referees in the modern game? And he said, one of the biggest challenges is the fact that because there's so many cameras and so much media scrutiny now, the referees are almost refereeing a different game to what you're seeing.
Yeah.
So it's almost completely second nature to the viewer to see things 5-6 times without even thinking about it. Mm. And to the referee and the assistant, it's not like that at all. It's completely different. He's refereeing a completely different game in a completely different set of circumstances.
Yeah.
So if you look at the thing where Hurd got sent off, if you flipped it around and saw it from the assistant referee's point of view, where he's behind the West Brom player, it does sort of look like he's whipping his foot away, like he's almost sort of doing something he shouldn't be doing with that foot, and that's where it came from. I'm not justifying the decision because it was a poor one.
It's almost an emotional reaction to what you're seeing rather than your actual brain sort of kicking in. It's the sort of first sort of, it's like that thing you were talking about last week about the first reaction, and you should sort of go with that.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And it's kind of like you're working with inertia, you're working with intent. You're
very quick as well.
Yeah,
very quick.
And when I watch a football match, we consume so much football on the television, you're almost expecting that instant replay to kick in.
Yeah, but you don't see it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like when you watch a game at Sunday League level or something, you're walking past the park and they're playing, you know there's been a goal and you've missed it.
Yeah.
Instinctively you do think, you can't, you know.
And also as well, I mean, you do get to the point where you watch a game on TV and you think, oh, that's a foul, and then you realise it blatantly isn't the moment you see it. And it's, you know, obviously when you're down there on the front line,
it's difficult.
I'm sure the same thing happens.
And the referee's got to trust his assistant 100%, otherwise there's no point having him there.
It happened with Raul Morales as well against QPR. He just fell over.
Yeah,
and it was given as a QPR free kick.
Luiz was trying to buy penalties when he was trying to get up there and get a penalty. You know, he would have done anything to get a penalty there. He was chucking himself around.
Yeah.
It was amazing to see.
Yeah, he is one for player cam.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Entertaining. Wolves 2, Swansea 2. Two quick goals at the end for Wolves. But some of the Wolves fans singing you don't know what you're doing to Mick McCarthy and you're getting sacked in the morning. McCarthy's taken them up and has consolidated their position in the Premier League. I can't understand the fans doing that.
They're idiots. The ones that, it's not all the fans doing it, but
of course.
The section of those fans who were doing that, and there were quite a lot of them, right behind McCarthy as well.
Absolutely incredible. No wonder he was fuming.
Oh yeah, he was, yeah.
It's a shame that those fans that sort of weren't condoning that weren't going, he does know what he's doing.
Yeah.
The other ones at the end.
And then the Wolves fans had the temerity, after getting the equaliser, to sing to the Swansea fans, you're not singing anymore.
Oh my.
You're not booing anymore. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Dear, oh dear.
Swansea dominated that game, by the way.
Yeah. Swansea looked good, didn't they, for
they
periods.
Did. And they might go on to rue that. I think they've definitely got one of the top pass complete rate in the whole Premier League.
Oh, they're a nice passing side. They seem to have found their feet a bit more than anybody. They were struggling at the start, but they seem to have kind of got the pace and the rhythm.
Do you think Wolves have got a real problem with goals? I mean, like Fletcher, they rely on, he's injured. They've only got Doyle, Ebanks, Blake and Sam Vokes, really.
Yeah.
And that's not goals, is it? They're not goals in those.
I mean, Stephen Hunt gets the odd one, but yeah, you can't rely on him for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Well, you've got O'Hara and Jarvis, of course, but Jarvis has been sort of off form a little bit.
They're all players that chip in. I mean, even Fletcher and Doyle, really, they don't. I mean, I don't really know their stats, but they're not sort of 20 goal a season strikers.
No.
I think Wolves will stay up. I do. There, I've said it.
Mm.
Right, we just briefly touch on international football. The Northern Ireland job is, of course, up for grabs, and there's two unlikely contenders that have thrown their hats in the ring for it. Current player manager of Thai Premier League side Muang Thong United, Robbie Fowler.
Oh yeah,
and Kevin Keegan.
Keggy.
Would we like that?
Of course we would.
Would the Northern Irish like that?
Of course they wouldn't. Maybe Sven will throw his hat in now as well.
No.
Who knows?
The only thing I've got to say about that is every day that passes that Kevin Keegan isn't in football is a sad day.
A baby cries.
Yeah.
Can we put a little calendar together?
Yeah, we should.
That'd be great, wouldn't it? All right, on to the Championship. Blackpool lost at home 2-1 to Nottingham Forest. Forest's second game on the bounce. They've won. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Good start for Steve Cottrell.
Mm. Yeah, he's done all right. I mean, I don't know where he found that from. I mean, it was all right at Portsmouth, but towards the end, they were playing some pretty turgid stuff. But Forest have got some good players, as we said before. Yeah. We always say that. They've got decent players.
Portsmouth won without Cottrell.
3-1 at home to Doncaster Rovers. Yeah. Glamour.
Did I see Phillips score for Blackpool?
Yeah, he did. And also, there's a really weird thing at the Blackpool game, where in one of these sort of empty stands, were just two, like, Zorbs.
What,
sitting there, just presumably they were part of some sort of pre-match thing, but it seems a weird place to leave them.
Yeah,
in the stand.
You know what I've been reminded?
Unless someone was in them.
Did you see Newcastle Wigan, the highlights there? Did you see there was quite obviously a blown up condom floating around?
Yeah, there was. Yeah,
did you see that?
Sexy football market.
But safe.
Yeah. Safe sexy football.
Yeah. That's so Alan Pardew, isn't it?
When you've got penetrating passes.
Yeah.
When you've got a man as good looking as Kabay, I mean, come on.
Yeah, what a win that was. But we've gone on for the Premier League, but we can't talk about it.
You brought it up, nobber.
And I am a nobber. Middlesbrough, that hurts, doesn't it, going to another team in the North East? They beat Derby 2-0. Derby gave 15-year-old Mason Bennett his debut. Hit the bar as well.
They beat a child. Well done, Middlesbrough.
Are you proud of yourselves, Borough? Disgrace.
He's on half term this week, so back with the under 18s.
Yeah.
We're not with the first team.
Imagine if he scored. I'm on half term. He hit the bar, actually, I think.
He almost scored.
I just said that. Yeah. To be fair, it was. Nearly an open goal, though, wasn't it? So, no future, that boy.
No. Give it up.
Now, we go all the way down to the Southern League, which is one below the Conference South. There's Gosport Borough.
Go on, the Borough. Yeah. It's my local team.
There you go. They've given a debut to a 45-year-old.
Yeah.
Steve Claridge.
Great stuff. Great stuff.
He cannot stay away.
He's come out of retirement, and he scored the winner in the FA Trophy, beating Scholing.
I saw the quotes. Oh, no. Yeah, Scholing.
He looked heavy.
Down at Privet Park. You say that, I saw the quotes of Claridge after the game, and he said,
do the voice.
I'm not that fit at the moment, but I've been doing double sessions. So you're 45, Steve. You are 45
and
years
he's
old.
Getting the goal.
Double sessions.
Some people have compared me to Jake the Snake Roberts, but I don't really know what that means.
Right then, France.
France,
where the naked ladies dance.
They are. Oh, they still are they?
Apparently so.
Big spending Paris Saint-Germain atop with a 2-0 win.
Doing a city. It's happening everywhere.
Yeah, it is indeed. But also, Lille beat Lyon 3-1. Joe Cole came on after an hour and it was 1-1. He made an instant impact and they won 3-1. He scored the third with 7 minutes left. Ran to the crowd. There was a big Union Jack and he sort of waved it around.
He had to run right across the Athletic.
I love
that crowd, but it took ages. I know. You're going to get a yellow. All the teams are going to get yellow because they all ran after him.
Yeah, I think that's brilliant.
Do you reckon he was going, "Come on, lads, they can't book us all"?
I think it's cool. The old running track. Loads of people complaining about it in the Olympic Stadium.
It looks all right, but it could
seem pretty good there.
It says to me, early 90s Italian football.
Exactly, and that's good.
Yeah, it is good.
But Moussa Sow scored an absolutely superb... So I think it's Moussa Sow.
Oh, the back heel.
Moussa Sow, yeah. He's got a back heel for the first goal for Lille. It's absolutely superb.
Well, Slow Loris dropped it.
Yeah.
Slow Loris.
To see... Joe Cole tried to do a post-match interview in French. He said, "Bon match pour my team, mon équipe et..." I'm very happy.
Kevin Kelly Pavey-esque.
I love that he's having a go, though.
Yeah,
I do as well.
He's having a go?
Yeah.
I could do that. I did 1 year of French.
Yeah, well, you could, and one good year on more you. Than him.
Je regarde la flag.
He hadn't been there.
All joking aside, Pete, you don't possess the ability to play for Lille. did Joe Cole put any tackles in, though? That's what I want to know. Did he put any tackles in? Yeah,
did he get
what's
stuck
he doing
in?
There?
At one point,
did he teach those frogs how to play?
What's his work rate like?
At one point,
they do is eat snails' legs and dine.
Snails' legs.
Brilliant. Can we go to Serie A, you bastards? Right.
All right,
Inter have won a game, Pete. I told you they would sooner or later. It was against Chievo, or the Flying Donkeys, as many people call them. Thiago Motta scored. Good player, Thiago Motta.
Yeah, he is. Inter won a game. As you said, every no brings you closer to a yes, doesn't it? It's going to happen sooner or later.
There you go. Whereas Milan came back from 3-0 down away at Lecce to win 4-3 with Kevin Prince-Boateng getting a hat-trick.
Oh, it was superb.
He came off the bench to score a hat-trick, didn't he?
The first two... textbook left and right foot.
Yeah,
you did beautiful strikes.
Brutish.
It was in about 15 minutes as well, wasn't it? He scored his hat trick.
Yeah, did you?
And
I looked at the stats on that, coming off the bench and scoring a hat trick.
Yeah, I mean, it's his third start of the season. I looked into it, and I wonder if they're going to sort of do a Gareth Bale on him in Italy, because he scored in the Champions League as well, and he scored a really good goal there.
He's a great player. He's a great player. Yeah. You know, a really good player, I think.
And the 35-year-old Colombian defender, Mario Yepes, got the winner.
Ah, but Yepes is a header, wasn't it?
Yeah. Also in Italy, Juventus said this is the last season that Alessandro Del Piero will be at the club.
Yeah, it's kind of sad, though, isn't it? Because Del Piero said he wants to stay on. And they're sort of like... Well, it's not that he's retiring, is it? It's Juventus saying this is his last season.
Wasn't announced in a really weird way. It was just like a press conference and they just sort of...
No, it was a shareholders meeting.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
And Agnelli said to the shareholders, "Oh, this," because he signed a rolling contract extension for a year.
I'd have quite fancied him to stay there to the end of 2012-2013. I know it's not up to me, but he's been at the old lady since 93, so 20 years. Yeah. Two testimonials.
Well, the
that's class.
And QPR interested.
Just one really long one.
QPR interested, Blackburn, all the rest of it.
Leicester.
Not now.
He's
not there anymore.
Sven's going to sign him now and just wait till he joins another club.
Excellent. Right, let's go to La Liga, where Ronaldo got another hat-trick and Madrid are second. They beat Malaga 4-0 away.
His third goal was an absolute delight.
Yes. It was.
Zlatan-esque.
Balletic.
It was balletic, Jim.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. It's interesting that Malaga got such a spanking as well, because they're new money as well, aren't they?
They got beat by Levante 3-0. As well, they're having a merit at the moment. Let's talk about the big team in La Liga, Marcus. Levante,
yeah. They are top. They're 3-0 away win at Villarreal.
Unbeaten.
Yeah, they are.
One thing I don't like about it, and if they're listening, they can sort this out. Striker Kone wearing number 2. Not having that.
No.
At least it's a low number.
It's
not
working
like 99.
For them, isn't it?
In a way, that's undone all their hard work.
It has. The great thing
I think it's responsible for it, because that's how football works, isn't it?
Defending from the front.
Yeah.
Kone's playing great for Levante, from what I've seen. And the great stat is he played for Sevilla. He's on loan from Sevilla still. And he scored one league goal in 3 seasons.
Well, he's just top wearing the number 2.
He's loving it now, though. Levante, he can't believe his luck.
There you go. They've only conceded 3 goals in 8 games. They've beaten the likes of Real Madrid, Malaga, and Betis.
Can they last the distance?
Of course they can.
Yes,
you know, over at champs.
Bookies are paying out now.
Yeah.
Over at Valencia, Canales is out for 6 months.
Oh, no.
That's huge.
That's awful to see, actually.
Bad news. Barcelona couldn't beat Sevilla.
It's over. The bubble's burst.
It was 0-0, Jimbo. Javier Vargas in goal for Sevilla. The game of his life.
Yeah.
Which included, of course, a penalty save in the dying seconds. Messi was the taker.
Is it bad that now when I see that Barcelona didn't score in a game, I automatically assume the keeper's had the game of his life?
Yeah, that's right. That's but he did, though. He was excellent.
It was a poor penalty from Messi, in my opinion.
There was a long, big old take row, away from the wasn't keeper, there, yeah. beforehand. He had to wait about 5 minutes to take it.
Canute with a bit of gamesmanship, kicking the ball off the spot.
Yeah, he also accused Cesc Fabregas of calling him a terrorist afterwards.
Did he?
There's
really?
A big old ruck there. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Canute denied it all and stuff. Canute was sent off himself. Messi, not the best player in the world anymore.
No, he won't be again.
Ronaldo got a hat trick, didn't he? Yeah. Messi didn't, so he's in now.
And Ronaldo did a sexy dance.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Thrusting.
Messi didn't even have cause to dance.
No. Messi said recently that he couldn't compare himself to Pele as he didn't see him play. I mean, this is, of course, what we're all wanting to hear.
Yeah.
Pele responded to this by saying he would send Messi the documentary about himself. He said, if he didn't really see me, I'll do what I once did with Diego Maradona. I'll send him the video, Pele Eterno, and then he will.
He's very quick on the draw, Pele, isn't he?
Yeah. Every time like he's got nothing on.
It's almost like he's got a Google search of Pele.
Do you know what's do you know what's even better? Right, that's a silly little thing that's going on. It shouldn't matter. Romario's waded in.
He's a politician. It's his duty.
He said, if Messi sees that video, he'll probably learn some things. What is this? And then he said, Messi has all the
conditions. About montages.
Yeah. Messi's all the conditions to be the best one day, but he has to overcome Maradona, Romario, and then eventually Pele.
Romario put himself over
Maradona.
There you go.
Daddy wants a slice of this action.
Can we go to Ghana, boys? Is that all right?
You never have to ask.
Good. The Ghanaian FA have banned 7 referees for poor officiating. Evasive action. A statement from the Ghana FA said that one referee has been given a ban until the end of the first half of the season for wrongfully awarding 2 penalties to a magnificent team name here, Ebusua Dwarves, in their game against Betchum United. Maybe he felt sorry for the Dwarves. I don't know.
I saw this story and
Betchum
United.
It lists all the things they've done wrong, the referees, and the length of suspensions. Yes. And then at the end, it just goes, and 3 refs were suspended for suspicious decisions.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you've got one referee was 13-week banned for making controversial decisions, whereas 2 referees were banned for 4 weeks for making suspicious decisions.
You can imagine the appeal and the sort of investigation. Would you say it was controversial or more suspicious? Definitely suspicious. All right, suspicious.
Well, either way, it's a ban.
There's quite a big difference in the ban. 13 weeks and 4 weeks. You do the math.
Good. Can't figure out which one it is. Colin Aloysius. Come on.
Hello.
My favourite one though is referee Vincent Atua, who earned a 4-week ban for his failure to keep pace with the game, which resulted in him his inability not to award a penalty. Basically, he's unfit.
Alan Wiley.
He couldn't keep up with play. Apparently there was a penalty that should have been given, but he just wasn't there to give it.
I was watching the telly on the weekend, watching the football, and I was looking at Steve Bruce. Now he's 50. Ian Wright's 48, right? Now they have two of the most vastly different body types.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
How much eating has Steve Bruce done?
Gary Lineker's
in 15 years. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Steve, isn't that weird?
Steve Bruce swears on the touchline all the time. it's like players and managers doing it quite a bit, but Bruce, surprisingly, is really bad for it. He
says calm the F down. Yeah. At the end of that match at the weekend, he's going, calm the F down. What's wrong for swearing? That's going
to... Ironic.
It's one for the Ghanaian FA to investigate.
Yeah.
And now it's time for Going for Glold.
Going for Glold. Glowed. Going for glowed.
You can feel the tension
I
already.
I need to capitalise.
Yeah, you need to bring that momentum into this week's
one. Do you want to recap last week? The most monumental performance in the Going for Glowed history?
No, well, it was after... Well, you needed something, Luke, to be fair.
And I pulled it out when it mattered.
And it was more my defensive deficiencies, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
Chadwick.
First clue, gentlemen. I started my career at Leek Town.
Stop.
Shut the Steve Bruce up.
Anyone Welsh? Roy Keane.
No.
It's the first person I thought of. Says more about me than anyone else.
My middle name is Abraham. My second team were Port Vale. I was signed by Steve Coppell in 1986.
God.
I earned the Golden Boot in 1987 in the second division.
Marco Gabbiadini.
No. Marco Gabbiadini.
Good shout. I like that. I just like hearing the word.
I'm the Owls' highest ever scorer.
Stop.
In the penalty in Premier League.
God. David Hurst.
No.
Stop. Mark Bright.
Oh, yeah.
You let that one go.
Damn.
I elbowed Andy Linnigan in the nose, breaking it in an FA Cup final. I married Michelle Gill, who is the fittest woman in the known universe. I am now on the telly a bit too much.
Yeah, definitely Mark Bright.
Yeah,
good work, Mark.
92 goals and 227 matches for Palace.
David Hurst, that's going to haunt me.
Silly, silly boy.
Silly.
Just when ever anyone says Sheffield Wednesday, I always think David Hurst.
Same.
And then Benito Carbone. Yeah.
That was last week.
I'm pretty sure he didn't start at League Town, so I'm going to say him.
Shall we have some emails?
Thank you for your email, lady.
Let's have some emails. Jimbo, what have you got for us, big boy?
Well, it's an email,
okay.
As is tradition in this
Read
section of the show.
The bugger out.
Hey, Ramblers. On May 1st, 2011, Aaron Ramsey scored the only goal in a 1-0 win over Manchester United. The next day, Osama bin Laden was killed. On October 19th, 2011, Aaron Ramsey scored the only goal in a 1-0 win over Marseille. The next day, Colonel Gaddafi was killed. Who will be his next victim? That is from Alex Penny. It's a good spot.
Yeah.
Pretty odd. I mean, I wonder who he's got his eye on.
Set Blatt, hopefully.
Could be coincidental, though. Pete, what have you got for
it
us?
It could be coincidental.
Let's hope so.
Am I doing this one, Marcus?
You're doing the bottom
there
one.
There we go.
I pointed at it earlier.
Oh, well, you know.
We're up to our armpits in emails here.
This is from Nick Feather.
Oh, yeah.
No. Dear Ramblers, having listened to your show all season now, I've not heard much mentioned about League 2 other than Paolo Di Canio Swindon Town, who, by the way, my beloved Bradford City are playing on Saturday. Anyway, I thought you might like to know one of the stupid things the gentle idiot behind me said during the game against Northampton Town. The game, as usual, wasn't going very well for us, and we were losing 1-0. During a mad piece of defending, our left back squared the ball back across our own goal to the keeper, which he duly missed and had to chase it across our open goal. In response to this, the gentle idiot behind me said, "Talk about self-inflicted suicide."
Nice.
How could that be anything else? He says. Just thought I'd drop your line. Keep the good work.
Cheers for that.
And a slight on Marcus for not putting League Two in the running order.
Yeah. That's a
big naughty.
Next week there'll definitely be loads of League Two to go around and SPL. Right then. Do you know what time it is? It's profile time. That's what time it is.
Unnecessarily.
Sorry, yeah, I'm sort of a bit carried away because we got a Brazilian legend in our hands. His name is Leonidas da Silva. Silence.
I know who he is.
Of course, you know who everybody is. But if you don't, then come with me for a journey through the man's life. He was arguably the first Brazilian footballer to get worldwide popularity and fame. But before we go any further, we need to point out that he was born on the 6th of September 1913.
54 years before the summer of love.
Great maths.
Instant maths.
Yeah.
Same year as me granddad.
How about that?
Yeah.
So.
What year was that? Sorry?
1913.
Quite a way before the Second World War. Just checking your granddad's not a coward.
Right then. As I say, the first Brazilian superstar, one could argue. Also, due to his incredibly flamboyant style of play and his skills and tricks, was one of the early players in Brazilian football history to give the Brazilians the reputation of their kind of what we now call the samba style.
Yeah.
The sort of party kind of... like playing that we all know and love them for, which perhaps they've been lacking in recent years. Now, he played for a couple of local amateur teams to begin with. Now, records are obviously quite hard to find for anybody back then, especially Brazilian players. You have to remember that they were light years away from a national football league. I mean, it was in the 70s, wasn't it?
It was very late on. And then also, there's a huge culture. I've read, and I know Jim's read this as well, the Alex Belos book about Brazilian football.
Yeah.
And one of the things he says is that how in Brazil they put a lot more credence in the spoken word, in storytelling, they do actually in writing things down. So when it gets back to this sort of era, it's very difficult to get those records.
Well, I think basically he joined, say, a few local sides and just scored a lot of goals for them and just turned.
We'll give him that.
Exactly. So
a bit like Romario.
Because I looked into this. He had a better than like goal a game average for five of the clubs he played for, and also for the national team, which is really something.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Now, one of his earliest clubs was Bom Sucesso, who were a Rio de Janeiro based side. Now,
can you say that again?
Bond successor.
I just like the way it sounds.
It's not, I mean, a Bond successor. I mean, you would say it slightly differently in Portuguese, but I'm not going to even bother trying because of.
Where's Andy Brassel when you need him? Right?
There you go. He was only 18, I think, when he joined them. Very young indeed. He'd already been turning heads with performances, hence he got the move there. And as I say, they were a bit bigger side than they were a bit more than a local amateur side. They were would often challenge with some of the big clubs there, and he was scoring a lot of goals, a lot of them quite spectacular. And by the time he was 18, he was pretty well known, hence the move.
I find it interesting, we just touched on it earlier, about the sort of no sort of national league and the regimented system, is that up until quite late on, the Brazilian FA, when they're putting the national team together, so they just say to the big clubs from around Brazil, I'll just send us like two of your best players.
That's right. Yeah.
Just send them up.
It's the sheer
and we'll put a squad together on that.
But it's a huge country. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about sort of 1920s, 1930s Brazil.
Yeah.
Mm. You don't have the perhaps the transport links and the knowledge of what's going on in other leagues and with other teams, you know. But he managed to kind of rise above that. And people got to know him.
It's worth noting that by the time they actually had a proper professional official league, they'd already won the World Cup.
Yeah. England's the same, isn't it? Not quite.
We invented that.
In England, we wouldn't have it. If it was like an Englishman running over there, we're not having this. No, it's not proper.
We did do that. We
filled in the forms.
Loads of things.
Yeah.
It's true. Now, he's considered to be the man who perfected and took the bicycle kick to the masses.
Was it Doug Ellis that invented it?
Douglas
made that up.
I don't think so. I think it was another Brazilian. Although there was talk.
Unless Douglas is a is
secret Brazilian.
Yeah. There was a guy, Silvio Piola, who played for Provincial. There was talk of him, early bicycle kicks from that man.
I mean, it's just a kick, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Invent.
I could sum it up by saying,
grandiose
I think
term.
He's what Michael Jackson is to the moonwalk, Leonidas is to the bicycle kick.
David Luiz is now.
That's true. He was a very pacey player, had incredible technique, really unorthodox technique, I suppose you'd say. His body seemed to move in ways which no one had seen before, and I don't think nobody, or not many, have seen since. This is why he got the nickname of Orman Bochacha, the Rubber Man.
Good. Nice. Good nickname.
Like a superhero.
Yeah. We don't put enough importance in nicknames in Britain.
We don't, we really don't.
JT?
Yeah. That's why I like Chicharito, yeah.
We surname-y.
So, he became known playing for Bond Successo as an 18-year-old, playing in Rio de Janeiro in the early 30s. Now, as we said, Brazil didn't have a national championship. Then they had regional ones, and there was a handful of big clubs who would dominate these things. And in the Brazilian State Team Championship, which is now a defunct tournament, it was often a team from Rio, usually Bon Successo, against Sao Paulo in the final. So Rio versus Sao Paulo. And this was keenly contested. The seven of the previous competition's eight finals were played against these two. So Sao Paulo came to town. They were led by the great Arthur Freidenreich, who was the country's first outstanding black player, nicknamed the Tiger. And Bon Successo's star player was Nilo at the time, and he was ruled out before the final, so Sao Paulo were favourites. However, the fans, they knew all about their new teenage sensation, Leonidas, and started chanting for the 18-year-old before
Rubber
the
Man, Rubber Man, Rubber Man, Rubber Man.
Which is incredible.
Just give me a bit of atmosphere. Rubber Man, that's Rubber Man, Rubber Man.
That's
rubber
what
man.
I'm at Newcastle at the weekend. That's how that ended up on the pitch.
Yeah. True. Leonidas put in a match-winning performance with two goals, and celebrated with his teammates. And
fair to say, he erased them.
Oh, good.
You thought that was better than Jim did. Jim got annoyed.
Jim would do, because he never thought of it himself.
He made them look like trees. Rubber trees.
Yeah.
That is the real humour.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, Freidenreich, the guy who was, as I said, Brazil's first outstanding black player.
It's a terrifying name.
Yeah. He came up to Leonidas after the game and sort of shook hands with him and congratulated him. It was seen as a very significant moment, as many saw it as the great man passing the baton on to the next superstar, because Leonidas himself was a black guy. So, real importance on that moment for the Brazilians. A year later, Leonidas scored two goals for Brazil away in Uruguay in a 2-1 win in Montevideo, which was a huge result, because Uruguay, I mean, well, okay, they're a good side now, but they were a particularly good side back
then.
Well
beaters then.
On the back of that, he was signed by Penarol.
Nice.
Just stayed, I think.
Yeah, just stayed there.
Liked it and went there. So he was there for a season, and he went back to Brazil after that, playing for three of the country's biggest teams, Vasco, Botafogo, and then Flamengo. He played at the 1934 World Cup, but it was at the 1938 World Cup where he gained fame on the international stage. Now, you didn't have group stages in 1938. It was just straight to knockout football. Kind of like the Cup Winners' Cup.
There's no time for mucking around.
There's a war on
around. Yeah, game face. There's no time for mucking around. It took us 12 weeks to get here.
Imagine that if you travelled weeks. Yeah. Played one match and went.
You can see it two in the first 10 minutes. Ah, yeah. For God's sake.
Let's just finish the game. We've all got to go and get treated for scurvy. Let's just get on with it.
Oh my goodness. That match, their first game, they won 6-5 after extra time against Poland. Leonidas scored a hat-trick, including the winning goal. There was reports at one point in the second half he took his boots off and just threw them off the pitch and wanted to play on with just bare feet. Some people suggest that he scored the winning goal without his boots on, but I'm not
sure. I choose to believe it.
Yeah, okay, well, we'll go with that then. But the European journalist could not get enough of this football. He earned the nickname the Black Diamond while he was over there. And journalist Raymond Thumagum said, whether he's on the ground or in the air, that rubber man has a diabolical gift for bringing the ball under control and unleashing thunderous shots when least expected. When Leonidas scores a goal, it all feels like a dream.
Oh, wow. That is
diabolical.
That's Stuart Hall.
Yeah, that's right. He was definitely in his pomp back then. Yeah. In the 30s. He got to the semi-final, but unfortunately, Leonidas was injured for that game. And
he had no boots on. That's why. He had blisters, probably.
That's right. He stubbed his toe.
Insisted on doing everything as a bicycle kick.
I can't play,
kept
boss.
Smacking his head.
I'll tell you, flip flops off then.
Yeah. They played World Champions Italy and they lost 2-1. But he was back for the third place match and got 2 and a 4-2 win. 7 goals in 4 games was enough to get him the nickname from the European journalist, the Black Diamond, of course, and get the golden shoe.
Oh, that's what you want.
So he left with
which he didn't wear.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. The golden flip-flop.
Yeah.
Now, at the same time, the Brazilian players, of course, there were some black players, some white players, and some mixed race players in there. But apparently, on the ship over there to Europe, they were segregated from some of the people, and Leonidas hated this.
Mad.
And there is a little report that when they were playing in a match later on, when they returned from Brazil, I think it might have been against the American national team. Again, he was what he perceived as racism from the opponents, which he of course hated, and so he should. He got his old boy out.
Did he?
Yeah.
did him the old Don Hutchinson, did he?
He exposed, and there was a police escort to get him away to safety. Hell. Yeah, he wasn't happy about that, though. In 1941, he was jailed for 8 months, having forged a certificate, which got him out of military service.
Yeah.
So, but he got back into football after that, which was good, and his popularity didn't seem to wane on such a thing. He then went to play for Flamengo, where, according to Flamengo's website, which we will take as gospel, he played 149 games and scored 153 goals.
Get in there.
which we like to see. Now, he was the first Brazilian footballer to endorse a product, a chocolate bar named Diamante Negro, which of course means the Black Diamond, and it's still very popular in Brazil to this day.
Cracking.
According to a Brazilian friend of mine, I was asking her about it, and she just went, you've nothing like that in the UK.
No. Well, Lineker doing Walker's crisps.
No, it was in the chocolate bar itself.
Okay, yeah. Oh, is it delicious?
As in the product.
If you are in Brazil, do send us some over. Joel Richards, he goes out there.
He's
a lot.
He's in Buenos Aires.
He lives there. Oh, it's all the same, isn't it? Yeah, no, I'm wrong. Rupert Fryer, next time you go to Brazil, if you go there, send us some of that.
Yeah.
Or Teixeira, he listens to the show. I'm sure. Yeah.
Romario, if you're not busy.
I'm a massive fan of cocaine.
Send us over. after playing football, he finished the course, and then he had a few coaching jobs, became a radio commentator for about 20 years. Sadly, he got Alzheimer's disease and eventually died in 2004. But his is a lasting legacy. His style of play and popularity helped with racial integration in Brazil and the way the Brazilians went on to play the game, of course. One could also argue that he pioneered the kind of the legacy of the fantastically entertaining Brazilian forward, very dynamic and scoring a lot of goals. And he greatly influenced his Flamengo teammate, Tomás Soares da Silva, who in turn had a great influence on Pelé himself.
Great stuff.
So there's a little bit of stuff there to be passed
and
down.
And he owned a furniture shop as well.
He did own a furniture shop.
He's got his own chocolate bar.
My gag was that overhead kicks are easier to do in a recliner.
Yeah. He could still do them later on in life.
Mm. Put the cushions down.
I'll leave the last words to journalist Jerry Weinstein, who said he was as fast as a greyhound, as agile as a cat, and seemed not to be made of flesh and bones at all, but entirely of rubber.
Yeah. Come in, Leonidas.
The rubber man. Here he comes. Well, kids, that's the end of the Football Ramble this week. If you'd like to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. And, of course, if you want to get your mitts on PES 2012, then email in at that address and answer the opening question from the show, which was, what job would you like to see Sven in now that he is no longer in football management?
And do remember to keep them short, because that gives you a better chance.
And yeah, specify which console you would like the game for.
Because we are throughout the month of October sponsored by PES 2012. Forever evolving, forever football, forever Pro Evo.
Just
visit facebook.com/PES for more on that. All right.
Jimbo, what's happening at the website? Thefootballramble.com, I think it's called.
All kinds of balls. This week, on our bit of the internet, there are blogs on the rise of Man City from Chris Mann. Look at Bill Bowers, Ike Muniain from Dermot Corrigan, and the start of a new series called Retro Ramble, where Andy Brathel, of all people, looks back at a classic match. This time it's AC Milan larruping Real Madrid 5-0 in the European Cup in 1989. And alongside that, there's Pick Line. There's the Dean Windass Hall of Fame. There's our lovely shop if you're feeling a bit cold and you need a shirt. It's getting colder, isn't it? And of course, there is the forum.
Yeah, there's a great thread in the forum at the moment about some people, well, a forum users trying to get other forum users to sign up to volunteer to no longer support their football team but just support Balotelli. I'm not sure how he's getting on.
I'm loving a bit of retro ramble.
That's great stuff.
Yeah. And let's not forget the you can buy the Mario Balotelli shirts.
Yeah, there's Why Always Me t-shirts, there's Super Mario t-shirts, there's other t-shirts as well. If perhaps you're a Man United fan, you're not a
or if you know a Man United fan who you hate.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, there we go. I think that's it, isn't it, Jimbo?
Yep.
Good, then say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, yes. Pete.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me, the end. Yes!
Shake it, shake it, shake it! Matt Mario! Say that, Johnny Evans! Take it, take it! 3-0 in the Swamp! It's the stuff of dreams! Ah, oh, look at his sad chops! Look at his sad chops! Yeah! Embarrassing! 5-1! That's it! I'm down all day long! Take it out, Bobby Charlton! Take it! Oh, please! 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 Yes! 6!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.